We're going to look this morning at a woman of wisdom. So Proverbs 31, let's just read one verse. And Proverbs 31 is not to intimidate women. It's just an outstanding picture of God's wisdom that comes upon women as they follow him. Verse 29 says, he's writing about his wife, this excellent woman. He says, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty in vain, or beauty fades, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Amen. And then let's go across to Mark 14, and it says, now it was 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him, for they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people. And while he was at Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at the table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. So that's about a year's wages. Imagine, just think of what you earn in a year. That's what she used. And they scolded her. And Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you will always have the poor with you. And whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, whenever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Amen. And so this morning we want to just look at this woman, Mary of Bethany, and the wisdom that God gave her. And just really this morning, I really want to honor the woman in our midst. We just want to say to the ladies, the women that are in our midst, we appreciate you. We really do. Our wives, our daughters, our mothers, the sisters amongst us in the Lord. Where would we be without women? Seriously. Guys, you must all nod at that point. Where would we be? We would be in trouble. And we just want to thank you and honor you for your service that often just goes on, sometimes just unrecognized or unappreciated. We just want to say to you this morning, we do value you. We do thank God for the woman he's placed in our lives. Shannon and others, it's just been amazing. The elders' wives, the leaders amongst us. You know, God has just been so good in putting women in our lives to help us. And here we have this woman, Mary of Bethany, who was really a lover of Jesus. And this woman, she was the sister of Martha, the one who sat at Jesus' feet. So if you turn with me to Luke chapter 10, let's just read that quickly. Luke chapter 10. And verse 38, it says, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, this is the same sister, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. So Martha kept busy in the kitchen doing stuff. She was much more practical. But Mary sat at Jesus' feet. And she went up to Jesus after a while and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken away from her. So that's the same Mary and Martha. And so this morning we want to just look at this, I'm not going to preach for long, but we just want to look at this woman, Mary of Bethany, and just a few things about her life that we can learn from and the wisdom that she had in her relationship with Jesus. She was firstly a lover of Jesus. She was a worshiper of Christ, and that comes out again and again in this passage. And I want to just pick up this verse 6 where Jesus said, she has done a beautiful thing for me. She has done a beautiful thing to me. And in our midst, even this morning, we have a number of women who have done beautiful things for the Lord. You really have. And for your families and for your husbands. And we want to honor you this morning for the beautiful things that you do. And so I just want us to notice a few things. Firstly, this morning, I want you to see that Mary's focus was really on Jesus. She was really a lover of Christ. She was a lover of Christ, and true wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, the Bible tells us. There's a secret wisdom. There's a wisdom that you can only find when you find Christ. And suddenly it's like an entrance into a whole world of wisdom, a way of doing things. God's value system that you cannot find at UKZN, you cannot find in textbooks, you cannot find in any other place but through the fear of the Lord. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of true wisdom. So many people have knowledge and understanding and degrees, but the beginning of true wisdom is comes through the fear of the Lord, knowing the Lord. And Mary knew some of that wisdom, and she began to when she found Christ, she was a lover of Jesus. And she's not the same as the notorious woman, the prostitute who anointed Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. This is another Mary. Jesus was anointed more than once. As I said already, she's the sister of Martha. And she was the one who focused on Jesus personally. And friends, it's the most important thing we can do. In the midst of our busyness, in the midst of running around, in the midst of all the pressure we have these days, somehow Mary found time to just sit at the feet of Jesus and just to listen to Jesus. And as she did that, she picked up things from Jesus that you will find the others didn't pick up. She understood things about Jesus that others didn't understand because she just sat at his feet. And when you sit at Jesus' feet, when you make a practice of doing that in your life, you will find God speaks to you. You will find you pick up things. You will find God ministers to you. You'll begin to understand things. God will begin to share his heart with you and his wisdom with you. And we need to do that in our lives these days, particularly in this modern lifestyle we live that's so busy. You must make time just to sit at the feet of Jesus. And you may ask me this morning, what must I do when I sit there? I say to you, you must do nothing. You must learn to do nothing at the feet of Jesus sometimes. Sometimes you must read your Bible. Sometimes you must sing. Sometimes you can pray. But sometimes you must do nothing. Just sit at his feet. Just sit in his presence. Maybe you want to put some music on. Or you just sit and say, Lord, Lord, here I am. I'm sitting at your feet. It's not just for the woman, but for the guys as well. And that's what Mary did. She knew how to just stop what she was doing and sit at the feet of Jesus. Just sit at the feet of Jesus. She knew how to do that. Even when Martha came and said, listen, I need to unpack the dishwasher. I need to take the chicken out of the oven. Someone needs to talk to the guests. Come on, Mary. Jesus said, leave her alone. She's at my feet. She's learning from me. And friends, we need to do that. I want to encourage you this morning. Learn to just make time to sit at the feet of Jesus. Learn to do that in your week, in your day, in your lifestyle. Just at the feet of Jesus. Good to pray with your husband. It's good to pray in prayer meetings. But sometimes it's just you and Jesus. Just you and him. And just sit and be quiet and just listen to him. Perhaps you want to read a psalm or read a passage of scripture. But don't rush into his presence and rush out of his presence. Learn to sit and just be quiet and just to receive. Because that's what Mary did. And as she did that, she picked up things from the Lord. She learned things about the Lord. And she had a great love for Jesus personally. And in this passage in Mark 14, she seemed to be the only one who realized that he was about to die. She seemed to be the only one who realized the prophetic moment. She'd been listening to the things that he'd been saying. And Jesus said, I'm going to Jerusalem to die. And she was the one who seemed to understand it more than anyone else. That in a few days he was going to ride into Jerusalem and give up his life. That he was approaching the cross. She sensed this was a turning point in the life of Jesus. He was approaching the cross. He was going to lay down his life for our sins. He was going to die. And she picked it up. She sensed it. She believed him. And she brought this perfume. And she broke this vase of perfume. And she poured it over Jesus. And she anointed him for burial. And that's what they used to do in those days. They had a belief in the afterlife. They believed that you didn't just put a body in the ground or cremate a body, but you anointed the body. You wrapped the body up. You prepared the body. And she knew in her spirit that something was happening to Jesus And she brought this very expensive perfume and she anointed him in the presence of others. It was tremendous prophetic insight of what was happening to Christ. Tremendous prophetic insight that he was about to suffer and die. Maybe she had some idea because her own brother Lazarus had been raised from the dead and she thought, is he going to do it again? Anything's possible with Jesus. And friends, this was the most decisive moment of Jesus' life and Mary picked it up. And she reminds him, Jesus, this is your moment. And she reminds him by pouring out this perfume on him. There's a message and a moment that she picked up and she understood. There was a heart connection. There was a prophetic connection between her and Jesus. And that's what God's looking for in these days. He's looking for that prophetic connection. He's looking for us to pick up in the spirit what's going on. And she did that. And this half liter of perfume was made from pure nard. It was extremely costly. It came from India. And it was imported at great cost into the Roman Empire. And she'd been keeping it. Sometimes women would keep perfume like this. It's kind of like a savings. They couldn't earn as much money as the men sometimes. So they'd keep things like this. Sometimes it was in the family. And they'd keep it as a kind of a savings. And she took this year's wages and she just broke it and she anointed Christ. She anointed Jesus. And then she let down her hair. And she began to wipe his feet and she began to touch him and prepare him for burial. It's something that you didn't do in that culture. You didn't let your hair down. It was a very personal, intimate act that women did for their husbands at home behind closed doors. And Jesus did it in this public place for Jesus because she loved him so much. Her love for Jesus was very personal. It was intimate. It was emotional. And it was unconcerned about others. She just didn't care about what the others felt because she was captivated by Jesus. She ignored the traditions and opinions of men. And as she did this, the whole house, the Bible says, was filled. I don't know what nard smells like. But the whole house was filled with this. I know when my wife puts perfume on, you can smell it. And this whole house was filled with perfume. Her love was like a fragrance that filled the whole house. She poured it on his head and on his feet. And there was something so beautiful about it, and Jesus received it. It was a special act. And it involved a woman's touch without anything sexual about it. It was just intimate and personal. No man could ever have done this. Women can do things men can't do. Amen. And she did this. She touched Jesus in a very, very special way. And it cost her something. It was a great sacrifice. It was about a year's wages, as I said. And it took some preparation. It wasn't a sudden thing. Jesus says in John 12, she said, she's kept this for me. So she was thinking about it. She was preparing it. It was an act of wisdom. It wasn't just spontaneous on the moment. She didn't just rush in and open her perfume drawer and pull the stuff out. She'd been thinking about it. She knew that it was a prophetic time. And she thought to herself, he's going to die as a sacrifice at the hands of wicked men. Let me honor him in a special way beforehand. And she began to anoint him and pray for him. Hallelujah. And friends, she did it without saying a word. She didn't say anything. Mary wasn't a great talker. She wasn't a preacher. She just got on with it. She didn't say anything. And we can learn from this. Sometimes we need to do things without saying anything. Sometimes we just, and women are better at men than this, but just to get on and do stuff. And she did it without saying anything. And her deeds spoke louder than her words. And she was also just an outsider. She was really a nobody in terms of the Jewish religious community. But yet, Jesus said, what she has done to me will be told throughout the world and as a gospel account of preparing my body for burial. It's just absolutely amazing. She understood the gospel. She understood something. And she seized the moment. I'd love to meet Mary one day and just connect with her and just find out what kind of person she was, that she had this prophetic insight. Prophetic understanding. But we see with Judas, it was a complete opposite. And the other disciples and the other guests. It says in John 12 that Judas was watching this. Judas, who had the money bags, he was the minister of finance. Or maybe he was the head of SARS, I can't remember. But he was watching this and he started to complain. And he said, Why was this wastage? Why had this wastage taken place? Why wasn't this perfume sold for money and money given to the poor. And he sat with his calculator watching this. And he was half a liter. What are the current rate? Rand, dollar exchange. Hang on. Yes, we could have got 110,000 rand. We could have used that to buy so many food parcels. He completely missed the moment. He was more interested in the work of God than worship of God. And his real motive was to steal from the money bag. And instead of worshiping Jesus, he was scheming and he was thinking about other things. And so Jesus praises Mary, not Judas. He says, leave her alone. Back off, guys. She's done a beautiful thing for me. And so Mary shows up Judas for who he really is, not a true disciple. And friends, we can all fall into this trap. It's particularly relevant for pastors and those that are involved in Christian work and doing stuff for the Lord. We can get so involved in the work of the Lord that we forget about the Lord of the work. We can just get so busy doing good things. And in particular, Christian NGOs and organizations fall. I work for an NGO, and I can tell you the biggest danger for NGOs is they get into good works, they get into a social gospel, and they forget about the Lord of glory. And Jesus is not center anymore. Food parcels become the center. Or doing good works becomes the center. And we've got to watch this. We've got to make sure that Jesus stays the center. Hallelujah. I'm so blessed with CCP. They have weekly prayer meetings and they have monthly chapel times just to keep Jesus as the focus. AIDS is not the focus. The focus must be Christ. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus is saying here to Judas. He's saying, no, Judas, you've got it wrong. She got it right. And for all of us, it's an adjustment we must keep making in our lives. Giving to the poor is important and it's part of our Christian duty. But Jesus is more important. Jesus said, you'll always have poor people amongst you, but you won't always have me. And finally, I want you to see that God notices the things that we do for him, as he noticed what Mary was doing. God notices the beautiful things you do for him. Grace Jen, God notices the things you do for him. Hallelujah. And as I've said already, women are often... I want to commend women this morning. So guys, we'll get to you next month or in the future. But this morning, we just want to commend the woman. Women are often good at this. And I read a book recently by Paul Tournier, and he says, often women live in a world of people and men live in a world of things. And women are often more relationally aware than men are. We know that. And he says, who is it that remembers people's birthdays? Woman more often than men. It is the wife who's wondering all day long whether her husband is going to remember their wedding anniversary. Does this sound familiar? I can see some woman laughing. Telling herself all day that her husband does love her and that she mustn't measure his love by a little detail like an anniversary card. And yet she's really put out if he comes home and he doesn't remember. Women are better at remembering those details often because they sometimes pay more attention to people. And so Jesus understood that as well. And Jesus sometimes told things to women that he didn't tell to men. And sometimes women picked up things before the men did. Sometimes they pick it up because there's a heart connection rather than just a head connection. They're not just thinking logically or intellectually, but women pick up things intuitively so often. And we see that in the fact that Jesus often had to ask men questions. He had to interrogate them. He said to Peter and the apostles, who do you think that I am? But women often picked it up on an intuitive level. And so we find that Jesus often told women things that before the men picked it up. We find that the Samaritan woman was told by Jesus that he was the Messiah, while the other disciples and apostles were on their way to buy lunch for Jesus. He said, I'm the Messiah. I who speak to you am he. We find that there were a group of women who followed Jesus and supported them financially, because they believed in his mission. Mary Magdalene was the first at the tomb on the morning of the resurrection, hoping to just be there to meet with Christ. We find that this prostitute that came to the house of Simon the Pharisee, she was the one who cried and anointed Jesus and wet her feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair while the men were kind of scandalized. She was the one who got in really close and obtained forgiveness from Christ before he died. We find that the adulterous woman who was dragged before the crowd and they wanted to stone her, Jesus said, well, whoever hasn't sinned can cast the first stone. And then he forgave her. She had a connection with Christ after the men had left. We find Mary, the mother of Jesus, was visited by an angel and told secrets about the birth of Christ. And later on, there was a connection with Elizabeth, who was the mother of John the Baptist. There was something going on between these women before it even burst out into the public arena. We find that Pilate's wife had a dream about Jesus, and she understood more about Jesus than Pilate, the Roman governor, did with all his authority. And after repeated legal interrogations of Jesus, he sent him off to be crucified and flogged. And she came, she said, "Don't touch this man. I had a dream about him." She learned more from a dream than he did from a personal interrogation. We find when Paul gets to Europe, Lydia is the first convert. God opens her heart to be, she says, "You must come and start your first meeting in my house." We find that Aquila and Priscilla, the roles get changed, and we find that Priscilla becomes the spiritual leader who leads Apollos, who is a mighty orator and preacher, because she understood the things of the Lord. And then we have the wonderful Mary of Bethany. And so I'm saying to all of us this morning, we can learn from this. Guys, we can learn from this. We can learn from this ability to just be open to the moment, to be prophetically aware, not just to be trying to work everything out logically and intellectually, but to also listen to our hearts, because women do listen to their hearts. And we find throughout the Gospels that Jesus told them things, told them secrets that the men hadn't known yet. And they picked up the moment in a way that sometimes the men didn't. So we're not bashing men this morning. We're just saying, let's learn from the woman. Let's learn from this prophetic side. Let's learn from this intuitive side, where women have this ability to see in the spirit and to pick up things. And so we want to thank the woman for this. We want to encourage our woman to keep stepping out and honor the woman in our families, in our church, and in our society as well. You guys are great. Thank you so much. And guys, listen to your wives when they tell you things. When they pick up things. When they notice things. Don't say, "Oh, there you go again. You're just imagining things. You're just being all emotional. Doesn't work like that. Let me give you 25 reasons why it doesn't. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Listen, she's picking up things sometimes that you can't pick up. Let's appreciate them. Let's learn from them. And spiritually, let's learn from them as well. And let's encourage them. Let's encourage women this morning. Let's not discourage them. Let's not discourage women. Let's not control them. Let's not overshadow them or neglect them. Let's not misuse the woman in our midst. Let's appreciate the great things they do for us every day. And the things they do for the Lord. Let's honor them in the things of the Lord. We find at the end of Romans 16, Paul has many women that work with him and in the work of the gospel. And praise God, in this church, we've got some strong women in this church. We've always had strong women in this church, some very powerful women in this church. And we praise God for them. As we've said often, some of our best men are women. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She's done a beautiful thing for me. And what she's done will be remembered and spoken about." Mary of Bethany. Let's learn from this. She was a woman of wisdom. And let's honor the woman in our midst as well. And ladies, help us. As you pick up things in prayer, in the prophetic, as God speaks to you, tell us. Share them with us. Help us. And for the men, let us grow in our sensitivity as well to the things of the Lord. Let us grow in the sense of the prophetic, picking up the moment. Let's not miss the moment. Sometimes your heart, listen carefully, sometimes your heart understands things before your mind does. Sometimes you pick up things here before you understand them here. You just have a sense. Witness in the spirit before you can work it all out. That's how I came to be in this church. When we had Project Gator, I was invited up to preach many years ago. And I came and I didn't know, I was in the Cape. I wasn't going to come to Pietermaritzburg. And I came and I stood at the back of the church. And as I walked into the church, Ree Scott was leading the worship. As I walked into the church, I just had a sense in my spirit. God said to me, "You'll be back here one day to lead this church." And I just knew God had spoken to me in my spirit. And then things changed in this church and the leadership situation changed and it just looked impossible. And I said, "Well, Lord, doesn't make sense, but you spoke to me." And later on it changed again and they said, "Please would you come and lead this church?" But it was just a sense I had in my spirit. And I knew God had spoken. And those things are precious and those things are important, that we don't always try and work it out logically or cerebrally or intellectually. But sometimes we learn to listen to our hearts. We learn to listen to God on the inside. We listen to the Spirit speaking to us. Those little promptings, those witnesses of the Spirit, those movings. Mary picked it up. She knew this was Jesus' one of his last meals. And she moved in to bless him. And that was just a moment between her and Christ that was so important. And so I'm saying this morning, let us learn from this and let us grow in our prophetic wisdom. Let us not just Proverbs in terms of how to handle money and all those things, but in the spirit, spiritual wisdom, prophetic wisdom. Let us grow in these things. Let us begin to understand in the spirit these things and flow in sensitivity to the Lord. Jesus said, "She's done a beautiful thing for me." What a lovely thing to have said. That was her testimony. She did a beautiful thing for the Lord. And we want to do the same. So let's stand together as we do that.